Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Joining us now is Chloe Cole. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And Alex Marlowe, editor-in-chief of Breitbart.
Very happy to be here, Charlie. Nice to see you.
So, Chloe, let's start with you. Introduce yourself to our audience.
So I am a detransitioned activist, a former transgender kid, and former gender clinic patient. I went through the process of going through a social and medical gender transition starting at the age of 12, with a social transition, meaning that I changed my name, I changed my pronouns, I changed the way that I presented myself through my hair and my clothing. And then at 13, I started undergoing the medical process with Lupron to suppress my puberty, testosterone to replace my hormones. And at 15, I underwent a double mastectomy to remove my breasts. And I stopped transitioning at 16 when I was studying childhood developments in a class of mine in high school. And I realized that I wanted to have children. I had a maternal instinct. I wanted to be a mother and embrace my femininity, and that by transitioning, I was losing those parts of myself. And since about a year after that, since I was 17, I have been speaking about my experience, trying to advocate for a better standard of care for these children and young men and women who are going through this, and for the rights of these children, of their families, of their parents, and their caretakers.
Do you feel like you were misled on the potential costs of this treatment when you were young?
Absolutely. I was not informed of not only the medical complications that could come physically, that the way that it could affect my body. Most of the complications I'm experiencing now, I was not informed of. But at the age that I was, I just wouldn't have been able to consent. It's too much to expect of a child to make an irreversible decision around their developments, the development of them and their identity, and their social lives, of themselves sexually, as potentially future parents.
Where were you located when this happened?
I live in California.
California.
And I was born and raised in California.
Were your parents involved in this decision?
Yes. They actually did not want me to undergo any of this. They did not want me to be making any permanent decisions around my body. They wanted to allow me to just be a kid, to experiment, but within boundaries. But they were told by our doctors that the choice was either between death or transition.
What was it, and forgive the brutality of this statement, were they basically telling your parents it's better to have an alive son than a dead daughter?
Absolutely. They cited the suicide statistics. They said it was about 50% transgender people that end up attempting suicide. And they used that to emotionally manipulate my parents into believing that my life was on the line if they didn't give me what I wanted. And that was not how I felt at all. I was not suicidal. Sure, I was struggling in school socially and with my grades. I felt isolated. But a lot of my distress came from normal feelings that girls go through when they're going through puberty.
How should a parent respond to a doctor that tells them that? That if you don't do this stuff, your kid's going to kill themselves.
You know your child best. If they're suicidal, it's not because of their gender. It's not because of the way that they're born. It's something deeper, whether they have some sort of trauma or any psychological issue. You have to address that with your child.
A final question, and I want to get Alex in on this. Chloe, I'm told by certain activists on campus that transition regret is not a real thing, that the detransition movement is marginal at best. Talk about how this is a growing community of people. How big is it, and how real is it?
Well, they oftentimes cite the 1% statistic, which comes from faulty studies, which have high volumes of patient dropout. They don't check in with those patients, asking them why they drop out of the study. And We don't actually know what the numbers are, but it's clearly bigger than 1%.
We know of at least 20 to 25,000 in a Facebook group. Is that right? I mean,
on Reddit.
On Reddit. Okay.
On Twitter. It's growing. It's really about everywhere.
And I, at least personally, when I, again, it's hard to verify the identity, but there are thousands that I've seen. I'm 21. I took testosterone. I regret it. I mean, and honestly, these doctors need to be put in prison for what they have done. Do you agree with that, Chloe?
Absolutely.
That these people need to be lined up and perp walked and put into prison?
These people are sterilizing children and young men and women who are perfectly healthy. They're manipulating them, mutilating them, and they're taking away their ability to have children and basic sexual function. That is criminal.
It is criminal. Alex, editor-in-chief of Breitbart, you have a question for Chloe.
Yeah, I do. Can you walk us through the process of indoctrination? Because you don't come to all these ideas yourself. I mean, where are the places? I've got young kids. Oh, Charlie is a young child. Where do we need to be most cautious in society right now?
I mean, in every case, it's very much individual. We've seen how it's stuck its way into schools, into medicine. But a lot of it has come from the internet. And that's really where it came from for me. I was vulnerable to this ideology because I already was an isolated kid. I didn't really have very many friends in school because I had undiagnosed autism. I was struggling socially, and I didn't really have like a niche or a community where I felt like I could really fit in. So I turned to the internet, and with how closely knit the broader LGBT community seems, with so many people coming from these broken backgrounds, all coming together, seemingly as one.
But it was suggestive. It was suggested to you that that this is you. The old you wasn't the real you. This new you is the real you.
Yes.
By who?
I wasn't directly interacting with anybody in the community at the time, but seeing how similar these people were to me, these creative, artistic, open-minded kids and young men and women, it gave me this convenient explanation for as to why I felt so different from the other women around me, even within my own family. There was a big part of it was this theory that people who are dysphoric, they present, I mean, it's really based on stereotypes. They present more like what is expected of the opposite sex, and they are insecure in their bodies because they have the brains of the opposite sex. And it was very convenient as somebody who was very curious about the world, who always wanted answers to everything.
When you decided to detransition, you were very scared, I assume.
Yes, I knew it was going to be hell. I knew that by going off the hormones, it was going to be hard. I did not anticipate.
Where did you find support? Who was supporting you at that time?
I lost almost all my support from my own doctors, from the transgender community, even from my friends in real life. And all I really had was my family to keep me going.
Well, it's not just your family. I think there's a lot of people here who support what you're doing.
So, Chloe, the magnitude of what's happening is hard for people to grasp. How many, and if you don't know the answer, that's okay, because I can't find an answer to this. How many children are currently undergoing some form of testosterone, Lupron, you know, surgery? Do we have a number?
I mean, we'll never know just how many children are being affected by this, but just from insurance data alone, there's thousands of children across the U.S. who are being put on these treatments.
And just so everyone knows, I have had five people come up to me here at this event saying, my kid is now on TRT, Lupron, you know, divorced. And so, I mean, you guys probably know one or two people, right? And I just, so it's not like it's so isolated, so fringe that it's unheard of, right?
Yes.
So is it fair to say tens of thousands? I mean, probably tens of thousands in the last decade, right?
Just in the last decade, yes.
And maybe 100,000. So this is not, I mean, I think 100,000 in 10 years is probably low. I'm just thinking out loud. This is civilizational altering stuff. So you think about it. If it's 100,000 people that are sterilized, and in a previous world, they would have three kids per, that's an impact on the population by 300,000.
You can't handle the truth. The truth is the clowns running this place live for chaos. Many of our problems could be solved overnight, but they let them be, and destruction fuels them. If you can handle the truth and you know that you're 9 meals away from anarchy, you need to visit MyPatriotSupply.com. You get $60 off a much-needed 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. This is the country's largest preparedness company, and My Patriot Supply is your fighting chance at survival. Sealed inside rugged packaging, these delicious meals last up to 25 years and provide over 2,000 calories daily. Eat right in emergencies with this 4-week food kit from My Patriot Supply. At this low price, you can get one for everyone in your family. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com. Order by 3 p.m. for free same-day shipping. Prepare right now at MyPatriotSupply.com before total chaos ensures. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Chloe Pose here and Alex Marlowe live from America Fest. So Chloe, do you believe that trans is a real thing?
No, not at all. These activists often speak about it like it's an innate part of a person's identity, that there is some sort of biological marker. There are none. There is no marker in the brain, not in these people's genetics. It's a choice that you make.
So is it fair to say that it's just
Hold on. Can we just comment on how she just paid everyone at Media Matters rent for the whole week?
Well, no, I mean, but you are someone, you could say this from a very personal perspective, because you once thought you were that. Would you say it's like psychosis?
It absolutely is a form of psychosis. There is no basis, there is no scientific basis for this at all. It's completely out of the bounds of reality to believe that you can change this innate, immutable part of yourself. I mean, sex is something that's, it's binary. There are only two, and you'll stay either male or female for life. That being said, there are a million different ways that you can present yourself. You don't have to be limited just by your sex.
Yeah, and I just want to emphasize why you can talk about this. You had your breasts removed at what age?
15.
At 15. Did that make you a man?
No. It just made me a woman with less parts of myself.
Yet the argument of the trans people is you can become that which you think you are.
No. You can't.
You're attacked a lot. Death threats, yes?
Yes.
They come after you. Your life is in jeopardy quite often. Who is targeting you and why?
It's largely from indoctrinated people from within the transgender community who have been radicalized, and from the activists. It comes in large part from fear. These people are being told that there is a genocide being waged against them, that there's a genocide being waged against children, that they're losing their right to life-saving health care. And what wouldn't you do when you believe that there is genocide being waged against a population of children?
And so can you just talk about, for a second, some of the threats you've received, some of the experience, because you came out as a detransitioner, and you have been attacked a lot.
Yes, and I have been from the very beginning. Before I even started speaking out publicly, before I was a public figure, just on my personal social media, when I talked about the pain of transitioning and detransitioning, the regret, the shame, these people who I thought were my friends, were like a second family to me, started turning their backs on me. But they didn't just abandon me. They went out of their way to harass me, telling me that I was wrong, that I should have known better, that I wasn't a victim, that I had nobody to blame but myself, that I should be ashamed for talking about it, that I should just shut up because I'm harming the transgender community.
What was the moment you decided you'd had enough, you'd been misled, and you needed to go back to the original you?
That was after I, in my junior year of high school, was taking a class in psychology, and towards the end of the unit, it was very much focused on, like, family and children, and, I mean, sometimes, like, fertility and breastfeeding were talked about in the consultations for these treatments, but it was in very vague detail, and it was at an age, I mean, I was 13 to 15 years old when I was undergoing this. I was not thinking about having children of my own, because I was still a child. I was still growing up myself, so how could I be thinking about having a family of my own?
So Chloe, you're an outspoken activist here. More and more children are falling for this ideology, and parents are falling for this ideology. And also there is this totalitarianism that if you dare disagree, they're going to ruin your life. Your final thoughts on the fight in front of us and what we must do?
It's a fight that we all need to be a part of. because it's affecting all of us, whether we realize it or not. It's infected education, medicine. It's in every single community in the U.S., in every single city. This is not just a California issue. This is everywhere. And we need to fight back.
I love it. Chloe, how can people support you, your social media? How can people get behind you? Because her voice is important. Isn't this unbelievable? It's incredible.
So I'm on X, I'm on Instagram, and I am doing an interview series of Detransitioners on my YouTube channel. And you should be able to find me just by searching up Chloe Cole. But my username on all those is C-H-O-O-C-O-L-E.
And so what about people who need help themselves? Where should they go?
People who need help themselves.
Like you.
I mean, right now, there really aren't a whole lot of organized resources for detransitioners or people who are regretting transition, but Genspect is one that I would recommend.
This Christmas, the new film from director George Clooney arrives. It's a rag-to-riches absolute crowd-pleaser based on the number one New York Times best-selling book. This inspirational true story about one of the most difficult sports in the world and the 1936 University of Washington College rowing team that competed for gold at the Summer Games in Berlin will inspire you. This team rowed out of need to eat, need to sleep, and it gave them an edge that captures the power of working together to overcome all odds while rowing for America. They don't make movies like this anymore, and it's filled with wholesome content that makes it an ideal multi-generational movie for Christmas. Joel Edgerton and Callum Turner star in this exciting and incredible story of courage, hard work, and determination, showcasing America at its best. Believe in each other. Believe in the impossible. The Boys in the Boat, open Christmas Day in theaters only. Get tickets now, boysintheboatmovie.com.
We've got a lot to talk about here. I've got David Engelhart, who's actually on the board of Turning Point USA. So we brought in the big guns here. And we've got Alex Marlow, editor-in-chief of Breitbart News, who's still with us. We're going to recap, outside looking in, what this event has meant to them, what we've seen, what they've experienced. I'm going to start with you, Alex, and then I'm going to get to you. Alex, you are truly on the outside looking in, but you have been here a few times at these Turning Point conferences. Tell me, what did you think of AmFest 2023 as, from Breitbart's perspective, from just being here? What did you see? What did you feel?
Yeah, I feel like I've been to these things for the last, got to be 4 or 5 years. And this is by far the biggest and the highest energy.
Yeah.
And what's noteworthy about it is Fox does not have a presence here. Trump is not here. And I'm a big fan of President Trump, so I have no big problems with Fox. I got a few small ones. But that's amazing. And the attendance is the highest. I was in the audience yesterday. I get to get all the perspectives. So I get to host stuff, I get to interview, I get to be interviewed. And then sometimes I'm low enough profile I can sneak out in the audience and hang out. Standing room only for a couple of speakers. I've never seen that before, where literally every seat is full and people are standing in the back. That shows something very positive for the conservative movement. People are fired up. I think next year is going to be really fun. I might be the only person who thinks that in the whole country, but I've been preaching it. And I think this is the first hard piece of evidence that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I want to reiterate two things that you said. There's no Fox. There's no Trump. Now, we wanted Trump to come. There was some scheduling overlap. I'm not going to get into it right here. And I can tell you Trump really wanted to come. Really wanted. He called Charlie and told him how bad he wanted to be here. But
I believe it.
I want to tell you something. When he talks about the fact that we have blown the record books away right here at this event, we beat last year by over like 3,000 tickets sold. Over 3,000 without Trump. The movement is strong. Yeah, we deserve an applause for that. Thank you. Yes.
Amazing.
And by the way, I'm not going to name the other conferences, but when you go there and you see, you know, the main session, and David, you've been to these before.
Yep.
You go to like, I'm not going to name names. You go to the general session, there's like 20 people sitting listening
totally.
To right. like, you know, Congress right. people speak.
Yeah.
And right here, you've got standing room only. And when you stand on that stage and you look back out at the audience, I'm telling you, it's like as far as the eye can see. I mean, it's yeah. hard to capture on camera how big this space is and how big this venue is.
Yeah, and I was leading a breakout yesterday morning. I think it was a 9:30 a.m. breakout, and the room was full, standing room only, on, it's a Monday morning.
Yeah,
like, this is right, what's going right. on at an event like this that shows the energy of the movement that people anticipate 2024 is going to be phenomenal. It's really important, and even like we had Mar-a-Lago last week with Charlie and Turning Point and a bunch of our gang was out there, the momentum there.
We talked about it on the show a lot.
So the momentum here, like it's there's a groundswell that's happening right now. Whether Fox wants to be here or not, it doesn't matter. The people's voice, what the people desire, like these fundamental tenets of our Republican democracy, those things are showing themselves strong again.
And that's a really important point. I think everything that we've experienced as a movement in the last couple of years, you would think we'd be demoralized.
Yeah.
You would think the readers of Breitbart would be demoralized. You would think that you know we're sick of losing. I mean, Charlie says, right. I'm sick of being nice. I want to win. But yet we're seeing the exact opposite here, because I think you can see it and feel it in the tea leaves when you're anecdotal, the polls, whatever. People are fired up.
There's something about this moment, and I think it's because of the pandemic, where people want to gather. They want to be together more than ever. They want to show up in the same place, be with people like them, particularly this type of audience, where people are free, people are wearing all these wacky outfits. But one thing that I really noticed that was interesting, everyone's polite.
Mm-hmm.
All the younger people are nice.
True.
They all make nice small talk when you're passing them.
So
no one gives you a hard time. This is cultural, and it's a big shift, and it's something that Charlie and Turning Point, you guys have done a great job at this, because the rabble-rousers, which, you know, sometimes that energy is necessary, but sometimes being classy is good, too. It's a pretty classy event.
No, and we have a third of the attendees. So this is a general audience, right? So anybody can come. We don't check your ID at the gate and say, oh, you're too old to come. It's a general admission crowd, right? This is the public. But we have a third of the people here are kids and students.
And that's important.
And the energy, because you have that energy, it's incredibly dynamic. I want to throw it over to our man, Ben Berkwam, who's got a very important, because guess what, Ben, we don't just have fancy people. We don't just have Steve Bannon here. We don't just have Tucker. We have the real grassroots that's doing the real hard work in the field, and you got a story for us.
Yeah, well, I would call Terry pretty fancy.
He's fancy and a big deal, both hands.
So, yeah, speaking about this, you know, Charlie was just talking about this. You guys were just talking. We just had Chloe Cole up there. This transgender attack. Charlie was talking for parents, for dads to go out there and stand up. You want to talk about a dad that's standing up out there? Terry Newsom, the good Newsom, not like Gavin Newsom. Terry, tell us your story out of Chicago.
Yeah, I started speaking up for my twins back at their high school about all the porn, the indoctrination, and I got the attention of Antifa, leftists, congressmen, started coming after me. They started tagging me on Twitter, and next thing you know, when we were coming out to America Fest last year, found out I was on a domestic terrorist watch list. They even harassed my children that were VIP guests. Took them in the back.
That was coming here.
Yes, coming here. On the way out, my children had to go through it twice, even though I was the terrorist, which I don't understand why they did that to my kids. And if it wasn't for Matt Gaetz sending a letter to Garland, Ray, and Mayorkas, a demand letter, I suddenly popped off the list in, I think, around May or June last year. But he asked them, was I on a list because I was an outspoken school board parent, or that I was peacefully at January 6th? I didn't go in. Matt knew that. He wanted to know if you're maintaining lists of parents that speak out or anybody that was in D.C., and why was I put on the list? Neither one of those guys got back to Matt Gaetz, but I suddenly was removed from the list.
But this is what it's about. God bless you, Terry. God bless you for standing up and not stopping the fight, taking the fight to him. If you're a dad out there, especially if you're a dad, it's time for the men of America to be the men of America again. Stand up for your kids. Take your family back. God bless you, sir. And by the way, Andrew, Charlie, the whole team, what's happening in Chicago, the inner city of Chicago, Terry got me connected with these guys. The videos, the interviews we got, the black inner city is rising up against the left. They are so sick of what's happening with the border and the invasion on there. There's so much going on. So God bless you guys. Turning Point USA, America Fest. It's incredible.
That's what I mean. These are the real heroes in the, you know, that are in their cities, in their communities, fighting to save this country. I think it's really important that we keep highlighting those stories. So you keep seeing people are coming up in the show yesterday, in the show today. We've had people with stories that are just unimaginable. They're getting arrested going to the airport. They're getting arrested coming home from Daily Wire screenings in Nashville. the transing of our kids. We're on terror watch lists. And by the way, if you come to these events, it doesn't mean you're going to be on a terror watch list, but it just means you're probably going to be on a terror watch list.
Right. No, they're still rounding up January the 6th people.
It's like three years later.
They've got
nothing better to do. It's not like we're letting the country be flooded with terrorists gotaways and that sort of thing, Alex.
No, but it's one thing that's interesting, that's important about these events is to highlight the people. It's not just about the people on the main stage. And Breitbart, we've always tried to do that. We have the biggest comment section probably on the whole internet.
You guys' comments are incredible.
Huge.
You'll see articles on Breitbart with like 10,000 comments, 13,000 comments.
And advertisers try to leave because we let the people speak. And then we work around it. We do whatever we need to do to keep that comment section robust. Our radio shows, we try to get the callers calling in. And this is one of the things that's so important about the conservative movement. The left, the establishment, the globalists, they don't care about any of this stuff. They want a top-down oligarchy. That's what they're creating. True. And the only chance to beat them is with the grassroots. And that's something that if you don't understand that, then there's no room for you in this movement at the moment.
Yeah, the fascist control. It's like all about consolidation of power, total control, total domination of thought. We had this church post where we had some of our church people talking to these Palestinian protesters, and they were saying, you know, tell us why you're protesting. No one would even respond because they're paid shills. We know that. But one of the comments said, look at these Christo-fascists. And I thought, wait a second. Like, we're the people asking the questions. We're not the people trying to get totalitarian thought control. Like, we're the people wondering what's going on here. It's you guys that are wanting total domination and total control. And that's what's incredible about something like AmFest and all of these different booths and all of these different stories. Yeah. They're legitimate. It's real people that are seeking truth and beauty. And that's why when you come to a place like this, like, there's inspiration, there's momentum. We're going, like, are we going to win 24? I personally think we're going to win 24. But even if we don't, this kind of momentum changes the nation.
Yeah, and Alex, you know the media better than just about anybody. I think it's safe to say you've written the book on it, literally. Breaking the media, right? Or breaking the news. Breaking the news and breaking
Biden. New edition coming out next month. You're the first to hear about that. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Whoops.
No, that's great. Thank you. So, help me break that news.
But what I want to get at is the fact you made a point that the leftist media mimics the leftist political philosophy. It's top down.
Yes.
It's hierarchical.
Yes.
There's gatekeepers the whole way through. And then you come to an event like this, and we're just throwing to people in the crowd, and we're getting them involved.
Right, and it's not just the left now. It's the Republican establishment, too. Mm-hmm. The person who's gotten beat up the most this weekend is Nikki Haley, and for good reason. Contrast that with my approach to the news or running the Breitbart newsroom. I've never once been afraid of what a billionaire has ever thought of my coverage, mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. 15 years at Breitbart, 10 years editor-in-chief, hundreds of stories a day. I've never thought some billionaire might not like this story. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you when I get afraid. When I feel like the audience might not like this. My readers, the people who are at home just reading on their phone, on their laptops, trying to keep up with the news. They don't dictate what I report. I always report the truth. But I'll tell you, I'll feel afraid if I feel like the audience is not going to like this. The Nikki Haley's of the world, they're afraid of what the billionaires are going to be saying about what she has to say when she's on that debate stage.
Right.
And that's not good.
Right.
Yeah, and I think you've seen that, as you said, in the comments from the main stage. You had some pretty strong words from even Tucker Carlson, mm-hmm. Vivek, I mean, Steve Bannon. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, I think her and the RNC were probably the two main targets because both, just, you're right, they exude an establishment aura. The way they operate, it's very exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the key to this event, actually. This is why this event is so popular, is that everybody's invited. Everybody's involved. That's why our Media Row is the most exciting, powerful place to be.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk, your exciting news to share about saving babies by providing ultrasounds. Right now, there is a dollar-for-dollar match doubling the number of babies you'll save with preborn. There are babies alive today about to celebrate their first Christmas because of what we did together a year ago at this time providing ultrasounds. And right now, you can save twice as many babies. Maybe you're already wondering about end-of-the-year giving and want to give every dollar, get the most results. Or maybe you just want to know that a girl making this decision deserves the truth, so that next year at this time, she's picking out a Christmas stocking for her baby's first Christmas. It's beautiful to think about. Your gift of $15,000, somebody out there can do it, I'm sure, will provide not one, but two ultrasound machines. $280 saves 10 babies. $28 a month saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And right now, any gift saves twice as many babies with preborn. I'm a donor to this organization. We love this organization with the Kirk family. Call 833-850-2229. Full endorsement. Amazing people. Click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. Go to charliekirk.com right now and click on the preborn banner.
I'm going to welcome in Ashton Hansen from Franklin, Tennessee. I'm still with Alex Marlowe, editor-in-chief of Breitbart. We're celebrating the real stories, the real fights that are happening in our communities, in our campuses. So, Ashton, you live in a red city, a red town, it's kind of on the border, in a red state, but you guys are up against it nevertheless. Tell us your story.
Oh, man, where do I begin? I mean, I live in a red state, but it's really a blue city. I live in Franklin, Tennessee, the home of Hallmark, the Hallmark picture of any type of town, if you want to call it.
It's a gorgeous place.
Oh, it's beautiful, but I mean,
the underlying secret.
Yeah, the underlying secret is my mom actually ran for mayor, Gabrielle Hansen, and what happened is she was a part of a federal investigation behind what's actually happening. There's billions of dollars that are being laundered through from Maricopa County into Williamson County, and thousands of bodies being trafficked by high state officials. And so what happened is my mom ran for mayor, and they found out that she was a part of this, and they, a high state official who's a part of this trafficking scheme.
She was investigating.
Yeah, she was a part of the investigation. She joined in on it while she was running. And a high state official paid News Channel 5 and Phil Williams to go after her and slander my entire family. We had people showing up on the door threatening to kill us. We had people going through our trash cans, trying to find things. I mean, they even slandered my dad, who lives in downtown Chicago, and he's ran for Congress in the past. And,
okay, yeah. So the story is basically your mom was looking into some pretty intense allegations or possible criminal activity.
Yes.
Some local powerful people found out about it, and they smeared your mother in her mayoral campaign. And this is part of your story. I mean, that sounds terrible. I don't know the details, obviously, of that particular investigation, but this also inspired you to start getting involved with Turning Point, am I right?
Yes, it did. So what truly got me started in Turning Point was actually my dad ran for Congress back in about 2010, and he stopped the election. It was called the Chicago Halt. It was a federal injunction to stop the election for fraud, because what had happened...
There's no fraud in Chicago elections.
Oh, sure.
That's never been established.
Oh, no. But basically, there was fraud, and he stopped the election on MLK Day because they were refusing to file paperwork because they had, quote-unquote, lost it, even though it was filed. So he had a halt to the mayoral election.
When they come after you and your family, does that embolden you or does that scare you off?
It makes me more confident because it makes me want to hit back even harder.
That's exactly what I hear every time I hear one of these stories. It doesn't work. The tactic doesn't work. It just fires people up to get engaged and stay engaged.
Well, and I think that we are getting more of that spirit, more and more of that spirit every year. I think Trump has a lot to do with it. Trump emboldened the base. I think events like this have a lot to do with it. I think activists like you catching the vision and saying, we're not going to take this anymore. We're not going to take this lying down. Again, I don't know the details of that particular case, but it sounds like what's happened to your family is a total travesty.
And what was the response from the community? Did people come to your side?
The people who are quote-unquote Republican, they ran and hid. They voted in a mayor who now allows socialist flags to fly around downtown Franklin. They are, if you know anything about what the socialist flag is, it's a completely redded out flag. It has nothing on it. And they are flying these on flagpoles in people's yards or on their flagpoles hanging off their homes. And he's allowed Pride to come in and do sexually explicit things. I mean, not to mention.
But hold on 1 second. We're getting tight on time here. But I think of Franklin as like very red. You've been there, Ben, right? It's a very red town. I mean, it's one of the most conservative towns in all of, but it's not, I guess.
No, it's not at all. A great example was actually for Pride. And my mom was an alderman at large before she ran for mayor. And basically what happened is Pride, there was a tiebreaker in the mayor. It's a weak mayor system, so the mayor has to make the tiebreaker. So he did the tiebreaker on Pride. And Christians ended up getting thrown in jail and arrested over having a shirt that just said Jesus on it. They were getting arrested for wanting to pray for people on a public property. It's called Harlansdale. That's funded by taxpayer money. And on top of that is a public event.
Well, folks, I don't know what to tell you, but when we say the institutions have been invaded, they really have. When our country has been, the institutions have really been taken over, they really have been. This is happening in red America. So This is why we hold events like this, to give people courage to fight back.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.